I was taken back to when I used to cry out to God, like, God, I just want to hear well done. Like, that used to be my heart's cry. And we were singing that, and I'll trust you'll make something beautiful out of me. But the truth is, I already am. He already has. And I can see that there's still a part of me that falls back into that, whatever that is of, I just want to hear well done. I want to please you. I don't want to disappoint you. And the truth is, I'm not a disappointment. The truth is, I am already beautiful because of the beautiful, magnificent work that Jesus did on the cross is what lives and breathes and makes me beautiful. And it's not something that I have to fight for. It's not something that I have to earn. It's not something that I have to strive for. I just have to simply receive it. This Christmas is the gift of Jesus. Right? That's what we're celebrating, his birth, his coming into the world as a baby. And it really, it's all about just receiving the gift of Jesus. That's all it is. It's receiving the gift. We were in worship and I was like, man, God, I don't want to be known as the inn that had no room for what you were about to birth. That inn will always be known as the inn that didn't have room for Jesus. And you guys, God is still birthing things today. Now, he's not birthing a Messiah. I'm not getting off whack and teaching here, but he is birthing things. There are things in his heart that he wants to see manifested on the earth, and he's looking for people who will leave room for him to come. And for him to live and breathe and move and have, you know, and for us, you know, I don't know if it's still up there or not, about we in him we live and move and have our life. So I'm not sure, like, there's so much freedom in knowing. I am those things because he is those things. So this morning, since Wednesday night in worship, God was showing me the anxiousness and the fear that is prevalent in the body of Christ. It's not just something out there. It's not just something that the world struggles with. It's definitely something that the enemy is just wreaking havoc in people's lives. And I was taken in worship to Jesus in the boat. So if you go to Mark chapter 4, and I'm in the Passion this morning, and I this really doesn't have much to do with Christmas, but I really felt like, I mean, Jesus is Christmas, so it's about Jesus, so there you go. Later that day after it grew dark, Jesus said to his disciples, "Let's cross over to the other side of the lake." After, I'm in verse, I can't see it, it's too small, 30-something maybe. Yeah, sorry, I can't see it. It's too small. What? 35? All right. After they had sent the crowd away, they shoved off from shore with him, as he had been teaching them from the boat. And there were other boats that sailed with them. Suddenly, as they were crossing the lake, a ferocious tempest arose with violent winds and waves that were crashing into the boat, and it was all but swamped. It was all but sinking. It was all but sinking. But Jesus, here's Jesus, calmly sleeping in the stern. So he was sleeping in the back of the boat. Now, if the boat, like, was almost, I mean, sinking, surely Jesus had to feel that. Like, he had to, like, I don't know. But here it says he was calmly sleeping in the stern, resting on a cushion. So the disciples had to shake him awake. He was so at rest that the storm did not wake him. It was the disciples shaking him to wake him up. That blows my mind. Teacher. So the disciples have already formed an opinion. Teacher, don't you care? In the midst of the storm and what was going on, Jesus was still sleeping. He was asleep. And the disciples, seeing this, shaking him awake, saying, "Teacher, don't you care about what is going on? Don't you care? Don't you care that we are all about to die?" Finally, this says, fully awake. Think about that. Jesus was calmly sleeping, and they shake him. And as I read this, I was thinking in my, like, I just felt like Jesus was fully awake the whole time. Because, like, I don't know about you, but when I wake up, I'm like, I don't want to be talked to. I'm just like, you know, and I, like, just kind of droggy. But Jesus, it says he was fully awake. He rebuked the storm and shouted to the sea, "Hush, calm down." All at once, the wind stopped howling and the water became perfectly calm. So Jesus just took what he was already in. He was already calmly sleeping in the back of the boat. So he already took what he was in and made the outward what was in him. That makes sense. He took what he was in, and instead of letting the chaos of the storm and the chaos of the waves and the winds move him to fearing death and move him to, he said, calm, be still. He took what he was resting in. He took what he was sleeping in, and he took it, and he said, "No, here, this is not coming in and stealing my peace and stealing my rest and stealing what I know and what I have, but rather this chaos and these storms are gonna obey me. They're gonna come in Then he turned to his disciples and said to them, "Why are you so afraid? Haven't you learned to trust yet?" I'm telling you, it takes some trust to sleep in the midst of chaos. It takes some trust to stay in the place of rest and peace in the midst of storms. But it's possible. It is possible. Because Jesus shows us it's possible, right? He shows us that. They were overwhelmed with fear and awe and said to one another, "Who is this man who has such authority that even the wind and the waves obey him?" Rest. It's so important. It's so needed. And it's so available in the midst of. And you know, the disciples shook him awake. "Don't you care, Jesus? Don't you care, like, how many times are we going through things? And it's like we're, don't you care, Jesus, that I am about to die? Like, don't you care that what I'm going through is about to wreck me? Don't you care? And Jesus is saying, don't you trust? Why are you afraid? Why are you afraid? Haven't you learned to trust yet? Trusting in his goodness, trusting in his faithfulness, trusting in the fact that he is who he says he is. Trusting that he can speak to the storms, that he can speak to the chaos, and he can calm them. And that we can find a place so in God that like, how beautiful to find such a place in him that we allow, that we're so connected and we're so in tune and we're so like just in like resting in him, that when those things come to rock our boat or to sink our boat or to try to throw us or try to drown us, where we can take what we're already in and release it out and into and around those things, so those things have to come under rest. So, I am just so thankful this morning for Jesus. And that he left all of heaven to come, to be fully man, so that we could be restored to the Father. And so as we meet with family and as we gather together this week, I'm just asking God to just pour out of who he is, and that we would have, if there's chaos, if there is storms, if there are things that we're going through, that he would show us how to rest completely and fully in him. Well, God, I just thank you for this morning, and I thank you for your people, and I thank you for your son, and God, I just thank you, and you're just so good, and we thank you for the gift. Show us how to receive him in the fullness of who he is. Show us, God, how to rest in your peace, rest in your love, that when the storms of life come, when the things come, that we would be so assured of your goodness and your faithfulness, that we would be able to rest in that. And from that place, we would be able to speak to those things. God, we love you. We thank you. I just ask that as everyone leaves, I thank you that you have given your angels charge over them. And I ask, God, that as we meet with family and friends this week, that it would just be such a special time, that your presence would just be manifest everywhere that we go and in everything that we do. And bless your people, God. We love you and we thank you in your name, Jesus. Amen.